He's not preaching against something he don't recognize or something he don't know about, because he was the kingpin. He was the leader. He was above his equal. In other words, all these guys was older than me, but I knew more than all of them. And I persecuted church. Man, I did everything I could to destroy it. And I like the way he puts it a little bit later here in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, he said, but there's not another gospel that some would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, he certainly ain't talking about lying and stealing, and they would pervert it with Judaism. They would pervert it with the law of Moses. They would say, yes, Christ died for our sins, but, man, you got to keep the dietary laws. You got to do this. You got to do that. Paul said, no, 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 no. The moment you add anything to grace, it's no longer grace. You can fill up the Superdome with pure milk and put one drop of chocolate milk, it's no longer pure milk. And when you take anything away from the grace of God, it's no longer the grace of God. And that's why, folks, you got so much craziness going on today in religion. Washington is taking over religion now, because that's all it is, religion. Both sides want you to believe that, oh, well, we're religious, so we're... No, you're not. No, you're not. You may believe something, but you don't believe the gospel of the grace of God. If you would, you wouldn't be fighting. Wouldn't be trying to kill one another. I guarantee it. That is the crux of the problem with religion today. They run from the word grace. They're afraid to death of it. Oh, my goodness, if you preach that, wait a minute, hold on. If I preach the truth, this is what you're saying? If I preach the truth, yeah, it's not on me after I give it to you. It's on God. And Paul says here, it's not another gospel. And they pervert it. Well, how do they pervert it? By putting holy days, sacrifices, whatever you want to add to the grace of God, you take away from his purity. And what you tell Christ is, I don't believe the work was finished. Verse 8, Paul says, though we're an angel from... Listen at this now. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we preach, let him be accursed. Folks, there got to be 10,000 other denominations. 99% of them, you know where it comes from? An angel. Moroni, Jehovah's Witness, some angel spoke to Charles Russell. You can look at it, came from some being, some spiritual being that gave it to somebody, and he's got a whole pack of people following him. When you get some time, go online and see how many got their revelation from some angel. That's expressly why Paul used this. If I, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we preach, and that is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, let him be accursed. How many gospels you hear during the course of a day? And I'm talking about from well-known people. What about the sinner's prayer? Tell the Lord that you're sorry for your sins. Repent of your sins. Tell him you won't do it. That's not the gospel, folks. So if that's the way you receive him, guess what? That's how you're going to try and walk in him. And that's not the pure gospel. Paul says, as you receive him, walk ye in him. How'd you receive him? Grace through faith. And Paul lays it on the line here. Now, here's a man that's coming from the very perspective he's preaching against. Paul said, I was there. I had it going on. Probably had his own mansion, had his chariot with 20s on it, and nice stereo system. He had it going on in religion. But now watch how Paul concludes about this gospel. He says in verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Which is what he was doing before. For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. So if you're not preaching the pure gospel of the grace of God, you ain't serving God. Because that's the only way sinful man can come in the presence of God. And that is grace through mercy, mercy through grace. The only way, folks. You can dust yourself off, clean yourself up, and think that you're in the presence of God, but it's not true. All have sinned, and all come short of the glory of God. Every man born into this world other than Adam, born dead spiritually. Adam was the only man born not dead, or created not dead, and he died. So from that point on, we receive Adam's DNA, and we're all dead. And Paul said, you want in? He's the way, the truth, and the life. The way in, the truth about getting in, and the life when you get in. It's all about him. 1:12, Paul said, neither received it a man, neither was I taught it by a man. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about that one. Paul said when God revealed Christ to him, and Paul never preached Christ, he preached God. But the grace of God showed Paul Jesus Christ. Paul, you have tried to get in through the window, through the back door. The only way in is through Jesus Christ. And let me give you his revelation. His revelation is that he died for you, Paul. He paid your sin debt. And the moment you believe that, he's going to give you his life. Paul never was the same after this. Paul said, man, look, he revealed Christ to me. What? Well, he showed me who Christ was. He showed me that his death, burial, and resurrection was for my sins. It was my sin that killed him. And that's what you got to say. That's what I got to say. My sin killed him. At the same time, I died with him. And when he rose, he resurrected me with him. Paul said, now I got it. Man, I got it. And I'm going to share it with you. I got it. It was by the grace of God. All the time I was hunting down Christians, God was hunting down me. And then when he knocked me to the ground to reveal his son, that's why Paul asked the question on the Damascus Road, who art thou? He didn't say, I am God. I am Christ, Paul, who you persecute. Let me give you a little knowledge. Let me give you a little truth. Because you're going in totally the wrong way. So he turned Paul around. And Paul never was the same. Look at what Paul says in 13. if you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecute the church of God and wasted it and profited it in the Jews' religion above my equal and my own nation being more, what, exceedingly zealous of the law, or you could say tradition, of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, not by his law. Paul said he totally flipped me. Totally flipped me. Called me by his grace. For what reason? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens of me and you, the Gentiles. Paul said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go to John, James. I didn't go to none of those. None of them. And I didn't go up to Jerusalem, which where all the worship was taking place in Jerusalem. Paul said, I didn't go. But I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, 3 years, not right after my conversion, to see Peter and abode him 15 days. But other the apostles, I saw none except James, the Lord's brother. Paul said, now these things I write unto you before God, I lie not. That's a saying that Paul used a lot, before God, because Paul knows one thing. God is alive, living in me now, that I had never had before. So I lie not. This word is directly from him. Paul said, after this, I came into the region of Assyria and Cilicia and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. I guess they didn't know you by face, Paul, because they were afraid to death of you. You know, think about Paul's thoughts. All these years I ran from God. All these years I wasted time. All these years I thought my religion was the right thing. And then he messed up everything by introducing me to his son. Think about it. A little bit further down, oh, now Paul said, now they start to glorify God in me because they see what I've learned. I'm no longer teaching death by law. I'm teaching life by grace. And to show you how this worked, the very people that Paul taught in time past, they were now his persecutors. Oh, you're not teaching law anymore. Well, that's the same way in the church today. Oh, you're not teaching law. You don't have the commandments on the wall. You don't have this. You don't. What you're saying, Paul, that because of the grace of God, that gives me a license to do whatever? Well, Paul's going to answer that later. And Titus, in Galatians chapter 2, when Titus shows up with Paul, well, they assume that Titus, being a Gentile, went into the temple. And boy, he ain't circumcised. So they light into Paul. You mean to tell me you bring an uncircumcised heathen into the temple? 2:3, Paul says this, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised because I'm not teaching that anymore. And that because a false brother, unaware, bought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, and Paul should have put again there. Bondage of what? The law. Rules of the law. Do's and don'ts. Holy days. Animal sacrifices. In the church today, don't ascribe to all of it. They just pick and choose. Oh, we don't have a pen where we keep the animals. We ain't sacrificing no more. But we're doing this and we're doing this. And Paul said, no, 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 no. Add that, you take away from pure grace. And I promise you, that is the word in the New Testament that God is more proud of and that God wants us to understand it, because once we understand it, nobody can ever get the glory but Him. I'm here by the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I really should be in hell, Paul says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's the one that made me. He's the one that chased me down. He's the one that caught me on the Damascus Road and says, you're going in the wrong direction. Let me introduce you to my boy. Because in Him, I'm well pleased. And I want to put you in Him. I want to put Him in you, so that's going to make me well pleased with you. If He's in you and you in Him. Galatians 3:1. Just for time's sake, I want to get through the whole thing. In Galatians chapter 3:1, Paul really causes out, O foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you that you should obey the truth before whose eyes Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified, the gospel, among you. That only I would learn. No, Paul asked the question here. I've learned this of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? That's a strong question Paul asked, right? Paul said, could the law make you perfect? Never. He said, you all of a sudden have, and Paul's talking to believers here, he solidifies that right now. He says, O foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you? And that word bewitched you is false representation. In other words, the Judaizers and all these people teach. Paul said, who has bewitched you? When God has been set like on a ply card, written in big bold letters, Christ crucified for the world. And y'all just going to ignore that and think that you can go back to the law and perfect yourselves? Paul said, it can't happen. There's no perfection in the flesh. That's why we'll never inherit the kingdom. The perfection is in the spirit man, whom God regenerates the moment you believe, makes you a brand new creation. That's where perfection is, and that's what Paul is preaching here. Paul says, I don't believe that y'all think that you got saved by the Spirit, but the flesh is going to perfect you. Paul said, that's where I was. I was in the flesh. In the Jewish religion, I was in the flesh. Chapter 4. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, principles, world principles. But when the fullness of time come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son in your hearts, crying, what? Abba, Daddy, Father. You couldn't do that with the law. Even the high priest couldn't do it. You go and offer a sacrifice. But Paul is saying you got so much, you got it so much better under the grace of God. God has adopted you. And oh, by the way, he did that before the foundation of the world. That's pretty good. That's why any man can know that salvation is complete. Any man can know that you can't lose what God has done for us, because he did it before the foundation of the world. In order for him to lose you, he would have to say, I made a mistake. I put you in me before the foundation of the world, but I just didn't see you walking away. I didn't understand. That's why he calls us elect. Foreknowledge elect. He put us in him before the foundation of the world. And what Paul is saying here, your adoption, he's adopted us. This is no longer just for Jews. He's adopted you and me. If you have believed the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says this in 4:19, my little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, made manifest. Fashion yourself after him. Christ is in you. That's not the question. When are you going to start believing it? When are you going to start trusting it? And when are you going to start knowing that through the gospel of the grace of God, I'm in. I'm in. But unlike religion says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Unless you mess up. Unless you doubt. Unless you. He died for your folks while you were his enemy. How much more he's going to do for you now that you're his child. Now that you've been adopted. That's the much more of what? Justification. God can keep you on the straight and narrow path, I promise you. I promise you. What I beg people, what I tell people, understand what the gospel is. Know what it means to put faith in that. Because once you do that, you're hooked, you're in. I tell people, if they ask me, well, what must I do to be saved? I got a warning for you. I'm going to tell you. But once you do it, you're in for life. You still want to do it? And look at the expression on their face. When he saves you, folks, it's a done deal. That's because of grace. All through the scripture, Paul writing. One day I went through the Bible and read why Paul wrote the terms, have been saved. Are saved. Never will be. The only will be saved is the hope of him coming back, and that's the word Elpis is ironclad. It's an anchor. You can count on it. He's going to come back for you. Why? Because he's already bought you with a price. And we'll see that at 11 o'clock. He ain't spending bad money, I guarantee you. And that money was the death, burial, and resurrection of his dear son. Where he seals you with himself through the Spirit until redemption, till I come back for what I bought. I can't imagine Satan robbing God of what he paid for. Impossible. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul said, once you understand this gospel message, once you understand the liberty, once you understand the freedom that you have in Christ, watch your lifestyle change. It's not what I have to do. Lord, look what I get to do. I get to represent you. I get to be an ambassador. I get to tell people that you were in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses unto them. I get to do that. You want to use me to do that. Man, that's the greatest motivation in the world. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again the yoke of bondage," which is what? The law of Moses. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised," part of the law, "that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whatsoever you are justified by the law," well, let's put it this way. If you are not justified by the law in your mind, guess what? You've fallen from grace. God didn't throw you from grace. But you have fallen from grace. Think about it. Fallen from grace. You know, churches use that term, "Oh, you're falling from grace, that means you fell in some great sin." How stupid that is. When Jimmy Swaggart had his episode, people said, "Oh, he fell in from grace." I said, "Well, no, if he's truly saved, he fell in grace." God knew how to pat you on the behind and wake you up. I guarantee you. You're falling from grace. In other words, when you fall from grace, what is Paul talking about here? You fall to law. They're falling back to law. And Paul said, "No, don't do that." And he goes on to say, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith." That's what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, that people so blatantly get screwed up and say, "If you sin willfully, oh, there's no forgiveness." Well, what he's saying here, these people are doing the same thing, falling back to law. "How much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy of, has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant." What's the covenant? "The sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." He's not talking about a willful sin. He's talking about what system you're trying to live by. You're trying to live by law. These Hebrew Christians wanted to go back to the temple and bring a sacrifice. "Oh, well, I know God forgave my sins, but," I call it the billy goat approach, "but." Paul said, "But we through the Spirit wait for the hope. Because if God said my sins and lawless deeds he will remember no more, if he remembers one of them, he's a liar." And that will never happen. Cannot lie. I can, but he can't. Cannot lie. Paul said, "Man, y'all have done this." I mean, the writer of Hebrews says, "Y'all have done this despite unto the Spirit of grace." Y'all sewing the veil back, he's telling the Hebrew Christians. When the veil was rent from top to bottom, as Greg used to say, they sewing it back together and said, "Well, no, we still need a high priest, you know, to go in." And he said, "No, you don't. No, you don't." Because Paul says in Galatians, one of the places I didn't put, if there were a law that could have given life, there's the problem, folks. Then Christ died in vain. Couldn't give life. can only give death. The wages of sin is death. That's it. That's where the law stops. It don't say, but you keep them and I give you life. You know why? Because you can't keep them. You don't keep them. Hebrews chapter 8, the writer says that God changed the covenant, or God changed the law. Didn't he have a problem with the law? But he said there was a problem with them, the people. So because there's a problem with you, you can't. I'm going to bail you out. I'm going to do a one-way covenant. That's why in God's covenant, or God's covenant in Hebrews, or in 2 Corinthians, it's I will, not we will. So you either go unilateral or bilateral. You know how he put Abraham to sleep? Well, when he made that covenant, we all were asleep because we was dead. Dead in our sins. So you had nothing to do with it. Here's what I will do. I will forgive their sins. I will be unto them a God. I will give them a throne of grace that they can come to. I will. And then the writer of Hebrews come back and say now, in response to that, Let us enter in. Let us. But God did the work. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, look, God did the work. He did every bit of it. All of it. In Hebrews 5, verse 13, here Paul's talking about the liberty. Paul says, look, here's the other side. Hebrews chapter 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Freedom from the law. Not liberty to go out and curse out Craig. Beat up somebody. That's not liberty. That's license. That's putting yourself back under some kind of condition that God never meant for you to be in after he gave us this new and living way. He's going to tell us how to control that in the same chapter here. Only not use your liberty for occasion to the flesh, but to look at this. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou should love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. God so loved the world. See how he fulfilled the law? God so loved the world. Love is the fulfillment. You know, if there's true love, nobody will ever break none of God's laws. Not one. Not two. Not three. Serve one another. All the laws fulfill. Love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. And boy, that we can do that in the church today. I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. You see the warning here? Paul never said that the lust of the flesh is going to go away, because then my flesh is no good thing. Paul said, let the Spirit of God teach you how to walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. But it's not by laws, it's not by rules and regulations, it's by the grace of God. Paul said grace is our new teacher. It teaches us obedience. And if you look at the definition of the word, it says, grow up a child in the way he should go. That's exactly what it means. That's what grace does. When I want to curse you out, you might have earned it. But I earned hell. And God didn't give it to me. So that encourages me to not curse you out. That encourages me to reconcile with you. That encourages me because the very same thing God did for me, he works in me to do for you. And that's all Paul is talking about here. Paul said, you want to know how to live this Christian life? Read the book. Read the book. The word is alive. It's living. You know what else is living? Or who else is living? The spirit that lives in you. You know who wrote the word of God or inspired it? The spirit. So that spirit that lives in you can take the living word of God and work on you from the inside out, folks. It's not like the cup of the Pharisees that clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. The word of God works inside out. Little bit by little bit. Little bit by little bit. And that's the good news. That's what grace does. That's what grace does. You know, it's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Grace says, give him what he don't deserve. Just like I did to you. Paul, you on the Damascus Road, you deserve hell. But guess what? I'm going to give you heaven. If you want it, you got to receive it. God's not going to beat you up and make you take it. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul said, he revealed his son in me, and guess what? Chapter 6. Now, this was a quick run through Galatians, but it gives you an idea how freedom comes from understanding the book of Galatians. It says this, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceive himself. But let every man prove his own work, then he should have rejoicing in himself alone and not in others. For every man should bear his own burden. That sounds like an oxymoronic statement. It says in the first verse, bear one another's burdens. Now you say every man should bear his own burden. Well, Paul's talking about two things here. Paul's talking about here on earth and at the judgment seat of Christ. At that judgment, you're going to bear your own burden. But guess what? You wouldn't be there if you wasn't saved. But here on earth, Paul said, look, bear one another's burden. Don't devour one another, as he said in 5. Man, you know, let's act like God the Spirit lives on the inside of us as a gift from God. The moment we realize our condition and accepted his provision, God said, I give unto you. I give unto you everlasting life. And that everlasting life is through the death, burial, and resurrection of his dear son. Now, listen to what Paul says here. This is religion at its best. As many of you desire to have a flesh or in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Neither they themselves are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. This is the encapsulation of the whole book of Galatians. Paul says, and God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul said, it killed me twice. Isn't that what Paul says? I should glory in anything but the cross of Christ, whereas the world is crucified to me and I am crucified to it. Now, if God did that for Paul, he can't do it for you and me? Absolutely. Paul said, everything else is rubbish. Everything else is feces. I glory in the cross, because that's it. That's the crux of everything. Lord, again, we thank you for your grace that was abundant. Lord, you came from a perfect, perfect place. You were rich. You came from a rich heaven into a poor world that we might become rich through your grace. And we simply thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've done it all. Thank you that you paid the total price. Thank you that you want to live in and through us to live out those same things, those same values that you lived through Paul. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we thank you for those promises that are yet to come, like the rapture absent from the body. And we simply thank you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.